up in bed or something, or you're at your living dining room table with a cup of coffee, and you're thinking, how great is this, you know? And some of you are going to get used to it, but you got to promise me that when this crisis is over, then you're going to come back and meet here at church, right? Amen. Say amen. All right, well, there we go. But it is a pleasure to be preaching this morning at Trinity Assembly of God. Really looking forward to this. And again, it is, we know it is strange times, and we just want to take a moment to breathe. And you sitting at home, you know, like I said, maybe sitting on your couch with a cup of coffee, it's new for you, it's new for us, but we are going to get through this, and I'm excited to share the Word of God with you today. How different things are now, you know, it's strange. And all of the hoarding that's going on, of course, the toilet paper and everything. I want to let you know that my wife and I, when we first started hearing about, you know, people were hoarding products and everything, we understood the toilet paper, but our first thought was, we got to get to our local coffee shop and get a lot of coffee. That's what people wanted to do, because if we were going to be quarantined, toilet paper is important, but you got to have your coffee, right? So we stocked up on some coffee. I think that's the only stocking up we did. You know, we're going through this just like everybody else, and we'll see what happens. But I'm just thankful for your commitment to be watching this today and all the weeks coming as this crisis is going on. And I wanted to share with you today a message about hope is a vision of a future worth living for. I want to say again, hope is a vision of a future worth living for. And specifically today, I want to talk about how encouragement, how when you and I encourage one another, we bring that vision of a better future into focus. And the verse that I want to share with you today, I'm going to share several verses, so as you're sitting there at your dining room table or whatever, you can open up your Bible read these verses with me. The first one I want to share is Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. And I think it appropriately says this. It allows us to address what's going on in our culture. And I wanted to give a word also, not just in response to coronavirus, but I wanted to give a word to Trinity Assembly of God this morning. And Proverbs 18, 14 says, a man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? So the first half of that verse says, a man's spirit can endure sickness. And I wanted to start out by letting you know that sickness is not part of God's plan for humanity, okay? That God is not willing this sickness, and God is not somehow behind this sickness. That God's plan for humanity, of course, is health and wholeness and prosperity. But we know that sicknesses like this enter the world through our fallen sinful state. But this sickness does not originate in the nature of God. And it, as has already been said, I believe it was Pastor Steve or Mark, I forget who said this already, but in God's eternal kingdom, there will be no disease, there will be no pandemics. Right. And so, sickness is not part of God's plan. The other thing I want to mention that this verse tells us is that we can endure sickness, that God made the human body to be able to endure sickness. Now, my wife's coming up at the end of service to close and with a prayer of hope and healing, but I know she has some immunocompromised diseases, and that makes this part of our society even more susceptible. But we know that but a healthy body is able to fight off these sicknesses. The human spirit can endure sickness. And it is our nature to fight off threats. God has wonderfully made us that way. And so the human spirit is able to, it's even meant to, fight off threats and overcome adversity. God made us to subdue nature. And of course, one of the prayers we're praying right now is for a cure and for all humanity to be well. You know, some folks praying for God's people to be well. I'm praying for could respond and behave well by social distancing, which of course is so very important. And again, appreciate you guys all willing to stay home. And there's just a few essential people here this morning, but all of this is important. And we want to overcome this. We want to subdue this together. And I want to tell you what I think to be a Christian response, a loving response to this. You know, people, of course, are concerned about not getting the virus. No one wants to get the virus, of course, amen. But I believe that a loving response in humanity is not just to think, oh, I hope I don't get the virus, but to just say, you know what, just assume that you have it and do whatever you can not to spread it to somebody else. I think that's the way that we can love those around us, is just doing everything we can not to spread it to somebody else. But again, Proverbs 18 says, a man's spirit can endure sickness. So keys to endurance are, number one, to be smart, to know what you're up against, to take precautions. And again, please follow all the precautions that those that know about containing this virus are giving to us. Please just submit to that. But be smart. Know what we're up against. Take precautions. And to know the nature of your struggle. And we're not just talking about enduring a coronavirus this morning. We're talking about enduring all adversity in our life. And it's true for a virus. It's true for everything. That one of the ways that we endure is to be smart, to know our struggle, and to face it head on. You know, faith is not sticking our head in the ground and just hoping it goes away. Faith is not ignoring reality. And I want to tell you something else about endurance, that faith is not the absence of doubt. I don't think the Bible ever presents a picture where faith is the complete absence of doubt. I think that faith comes in when we are still willing to act, when we are reasonably sure enough about something to act on. This is why Jesus said, your faith is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest seed. And if you have just enough faith to act on it, even though there might be some doubt, even though you might not be sure, that is the faith that God honors. That is the faith where I'm thinking of the people of Israel crossing into the promised land. And they were at the River Jordan, and the word to them was, put your feet into the river. God's not going to do a thing until you start walking into the river, right? Now, in the Red Sea, God parted the sea, and they walked through it. But when they got to the promised land, God said, I want the priests to carry the ark, and you get your feet wet. You got to start walking into the water. Nothing's going to happen until you do that. And I don't know, I have to believe that some of the guys that were carrying us, they were probably walking around the ground thinking, is this really going to happen? But they had faith enough that they started to walk. And of course, then the waters parted. So faith is not just ignoring reality. And faith is not just trying to convince yourself that you have no doubt. You can address those doubts. Jesus is not intimidated or upset about your doubts. And we can look around at the world today and have doubts, but what God is calling us to in endurance is to have faith enough to act. And so a man's spirit can endure sickness, but the second half of that verse says, but a crushed spirit, who can bear it? A crushed spirit is a spirit without hope. Hopelessness is more debilitating than sickness. The spirit cannot endure hopelessness like the body can endure sickness. Because when we lose hope, we lose the fight. And I'm talking, yes, to our current crisis in the world today, but Trinity, you know, I believe that this is a word for you today as a church. When you lose hope, you lose the fight. And when we lose hope, we stop trying to affect a better future. Because a crushed spirit lacks the strength to do the necessary things to overcome. I want to share with you a few more verses about this. In Proverbs 12, and in Proverbs 15, and in Proverbs 17. In Proverbs Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, the Bible says this: anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13, if you're following along with me there on your couch or your dining room table, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13 says, a glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is crushed. And then Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So there's two progressions that I want to follow here in these verses. The first progression is from anxiety to unbearable hopelessness. In these verses that we just read, we see that anxiety weighs a heart down. We see there that a heart that is weighed down is a sorrowful heart, and a sorrowful heart crushes the spirit. And a crushed spirit dries up the bones. In other words, it saps our vitality. And that's why our original verse in Proverbs 18 says, who can bear a crushed spirit? Who can deal with it? Who has the endurance when all your vitality is gone? Because your heart is sorrowful, because your heart is weighed down with anxiety. Have to believe that this is kind of what was happening to Ezekiel in chapter 37 when God brought him to this valley. And what was in that valley? But a bunch of crushed spirits, a bunch of dry bones, bones that were dried up. And Ezekiel was walking around, or rather the Spirit of God was leading Ezekiel around. And Ezekiel must have been overwhelmed. He was probably crushed in spirit because when God said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? His only response was, Lord, you know. But then there was another progression because God spoke a word to him. Now there's a negative progression in those verses that I just read, but there's also a very positive progression, which is really what I want to focus on today. And this is a progression from a good word to an enduring hope. Notice the progression with me again in those verses. A good word makes you glad. Now, right where you're at today, I want you to just smile. Even if no one's around you, I know it'll be weird, but just smile, okay? Because a smile is very important here. A good word makes you glad. A glad heart makes your face smile. So would you do it right now if there's people around with you? I don't know, maybe you're with your family and you're still in bed in your pajamas or something, but would you turn to somebody? If somebody's in the room, smile at them, okay? Because a glad heart makes your face smile, okay? I know we're all upset that Mookie Betts went to the Dodgers, and that's horrible. And I know Tom Brady went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but you can still smile this morning, all right? A joyful heart brings healing, the Bible says. And when the good word makes our heart glad, and a heart glad makes our face smile, and a joyful heart brings healing, this is how sickness can be endured. Now listen, I'm not saying, hey, we just go around smiling and that prevents us from getting a virus. I'm not preaching anything like that today, okay? I'm not saying that. Because what I am saying, though, is that hope, a good word brings hope to our heart. And when we have hope, we can endure. We can endure and overcome a crushed spirit. So many people are fearful in today's world. And I understand that. It's easy to get caught up in the anxiety of the world and watching the world-o-meter counter, which every time there's a new case, it pops up, and there's more. And it's easy to get soaked up in that and to have anxiety weigh our heart down. Friends, I want to tell you something. Do not let the daily news become your daily bread, all right? Right. We need to face what's going on, and we need to be aware of what's going on for sure. But do not let that become your daily bread, because that anxiety of watching every new case, and we're praying for that. I'm not making light of anyone who might get this virus, or certainly the thousands that have died already. Not making light of that, but we cannot be consumed with every tick of the counter and let the anxiety weigh our hearts down in fear. And church, again, Trinity is something God been around here a little bit, and I sense that there is this anxiety, and it weighs the heart down, and it can crush the spirit, and it can take all your hope away. But I want to tell you today that a good word can bring a joyful heart, and a joyful heart can bring healing. Healing to our souls and healing to a church. Amen? It can bring hope. And again, hope is a vision of a future worth living for. We sang a song earlier, Pastor Steve, Sue led us in the song, when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. That is a vision of a better future. And that is where our hope lies. And we need to encourage that hope in one another today. Encouragement brings a vision for a better future into focus. This is why we need to encourage one another during this virus. We need to encourage one another and stop with all the death and doom and destruction, okay? Again, we understand what's going on. We take it seriously. And we're not ignoring reality. And we're not minimizing the struggle that people are going through. But we have to speak a good word to our society, and we have to speak a good word to our church. Amen? So let's talk a little bit more about the hope as I begin to wrap up today's message with a good word for you. Our hope, again, our hope is a vision for a better future, a future worth living for. Our hope is in the character of God revealed in Christ. One of my favorite verses in all the Psalms, Psalm 69, verse 19. Again, Psalm 69, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, our saving God, who daily bears the burdens of our life. God is for us a God of victories, Psalm 69, 19 says. God daily bears our burdens. We can talk about the burden of the cross, the burden of our sin. God bore them for us. But God also bears the burdens of our daily lives. The burdens that come from pandemics, the burdens that come from being hurt by someone, maybe a family member or a co-worker, words that hurt us, the burdens that we get from other people's mistakes and sins that are heaped upon us, the burden of just being human. Job chapter 5 verse 8 says, you know, we're born in trouble as the sparks fly upward. There's just a burden of being human. Saved, unsaved, following God, not following God. There's just this part of humanity that is a burden. But God daily bears our burdens in Christ and through the Holy Spirit every single day and through the prayers of the saints. And again, in a few moments, I'm going to have my wife come and end in prayer. God bears our burdens, and God bears your burdens today. Sitting there at home, and or maybe you're out, I hope you're not out in the yard watching this on a phone and doing yard work, because that's no way to go to church, right? But I hope you're focused in on this, but whatever you're doing, God bears your burdens. I love that, and that's why we can have hope today. Also want to talk to you about another important part of hope, and that is to stay connected. And I know what you're saying. Well, God, I know we have to social distance. And we do. But there's an amazing feature on your phone that I think that a lot of people forgot about, and that's that it's actually a phone. You can actually call people on it. It's not just for watching YouTube videos. It's not just for checking your email. You know, it's not just for playing games. You can actually, like the good old days, press some buttons and call somebody. We used to do that all the time. I remember growing up as a kid, right? So do you. The landline phone, right? With the cord that was 30 feet long. And whenever the phone rang, it was like, oh, the phone, you know, it was like an exciting event in the home. I remember that as a kid. When the phone would ring, it was like, exciting. Well, this It's great. There's Zoom meetings. There's all kinds of things. You can bring in your aunt and your uncle and your cousin all from around the United States and the world. You can all be on a screen together and look at each other and have that kind of time. You have to stay connected. And we're practicing, you know, 6 feet distance. We're not shaking hands and we're not hugging, you know, but we can still stay connected with people. We need to encourage people to remain hopeful. And one of the ways we do that is to point to the character of God in Christ. Another way is to stay connected. Don't be all alone, even in social distancing. Don't be all alone. If you haven't seen someone in a while, call them. And you can still stop by their house, knock on the door, even if you don't want to go in or don't go in or anything like that. Just knock on the door and say, hey, I'm thinking of you. Love you today. You know, all kinds of things you can do to stay connected during this time. We're gonna lose our encouragement. We're going to lose hope. Anxiety is going to rule today if we lose connection with one another. So stay connected. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So stay connected. Another thing that we can do to bring encouragement to people, and again, encouragement brings a vision of a better future into focus for people. Some folks are having a very hard time seeing a better future right now. In society, or maybe in your church, you're just having a hard time seeing a better future. God's character can bring it into focus. Staying connected can bring it into focus. Speaking positive words to people can bring this hope into focus. Again, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. What that is saying is that whether you are speaking life or whether you are speaking death, you are going to eat that fruit. I want to speak life because I want to eat the fruit of life. I mean eternally, I mean spiritually, yes, but just I want to sow life into people because I want to receive life from people. And so don't be a black hole. Be someone that gives life to people. Your words are so important. The power of your words can bring hope to somebody. Literally, your words can save somebody's life. Your words can also ruin someone's life. Words stick with us so long. Probably like you, I have memories. I have two distinct memories of my elementary school years where a teacher spoke some such wonderful words into my life in front of the class, and I will never, Mrs. Havren was her name, in English class. I hated English. It was my worst subject. I loved a lot of other things, and it came easy to me, and I liked it, but English, I still struggle with today. My wife still, even with spell check, I still have my wife read everything because I'm just bad at English, you know? But she was my English teacher, and she encouraged me. Then I have another memory of another teacher just belittling me, of course, in front of folks in class, and oh, how that hurts. And it stays with you. Some of you have had some words of life and death spoken into you by your mom and dad, your brother, your sister, maybe your pastor has spoken life or death into you. And there's power in our words. And your word of encouragement today, my friend, can bring life, can bring hope, can bring vitality to somebody and to a church. So what I'm going to ask you to do at some point today, not tomorrow, because you'll forget this tomorrow, I know, but at some point today, would you speak an encouraging word into somebody? Text somebody, email somebody, Zoom somebody, Facebook message somebody, email somebody, call somebody. There's a million ways. But would you speak an encouraging word to someone today? The last thing I want to mention is that faith must take root and grow in our spirits. For there to be hope, there must be faith there. And that faith comes through the Word of God today. Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. Stay in the word, my friends. Stay in the word. encouragement can you give to somebody today? Because if you want to receive encouragement, my Bible tells me, go ahead and give. Power of life and death are in the tongue, and you're going to eat its fruit. If you give life with your tongue, you will receive life. What encouragement could you give to somebody today? If you are crushed in your spirits, where is your hope going to come from? Friend, today I urge you to let that hope come from God. But I also want to speak to you, to everybody here in this room, the few that are here and those that are listening, that the Holy Spirit can and will bring hope to somebody, but you are the agent of God's hope today, God's encouragement. So God wants to use you to remove a crushed spirit of somebody, like Ezekiel walking through the valley of dry bones. When God spoke a word to Ezekiel, everything changed, and then the valley of the dry bones became the valley of the vast army. Encouragement brought hope, and you can bring that to somebody today. Today, we find that our hope, our vision for a better future in God, who daily bears our burdens, combined with the encouragement that the Word of God brings and the words that we speak today. So I tell you today, don't give up. As my wife comes to get ready to close in prayer, I want to end by reading Psalm verse 130. Out of the depths of my heart, O Lord, I cry to you. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning, more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, and if I could say it, O Trinity Assembly of God, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. Amen.